on Talk Radio.
Now, my next guest is a man who likes to think outside of the box. He's the author of a book called Eat Rich, Live Long, Use the Power of Low Carb and Keto for Weight Loss and Great Health. And he also represents Irish Heart Disease Awareness, in which he promotes the idea of receiving a heart calcium score check, which is a simple scan, as a way of identifying your risk of heart disease. But today we need to talk to about him about something that's also very topical, and it's the lockdown concept and the idea that locking down an entire society and pausing the economy is the best way to tackle something like COVID-19. And Ivor has done a lot of research as a biochemical engineer into that very subject. Ivor, welcome to Talk Radio.
Great stuff, Mark. Thanks. Great to be here.
Well, I suppose the British government might sort of be awake at night wondering whether, A, they enacted the lockdown too slowly, or whether, if Sweden is successful, whether we might not have needed a lockdown at all. What's your view?
Yeah, Mark, well, it's a tricky one, and it's understandable why they triggered a lockdown, because there was a lot of fear, and the modelling from Imperial College was very scary. So it's understandable that the decision was made when it was. Admittedly, it was too late. That's a good point you raise, because lockdowns might have more success very early on with very few cases. But in Britain and Ireland and elsewhere by March, it was all over the place. Mm. So lockdowns can't deliver much. So the real problem is the analysis of data and the scientific method. So we now have lots of data from the past 6 weeks. That's not modeling, it's actual data. And people may not be aware, but your own professor, Carl Hennigan, of epidemiology in the Oxford Center for Evidence-Based Medicine, published 2 weeks ago that when you analyze the data, lockdown clearly didn't add anything to social distancing. And Nobel laureate Professor Michael Levitt of Stanford has gone on the record with the same analysis from the Chinese, Italian, and European earlier data, that the virus follows a natural curve like they do, and the lockdown beyond social distancing can add very little, and that's evident in the actual data. So again, not modeling, but data. The same for mathematics professor Isaac Ben Israel in Israel, published a couple of weeks ago, same outcome from the analysis. And the Woods Hole Institute, same outcome. And many, many more experts. The media are not really featuring this for some reason, but this is the data.
So you're suggesting, Ivor, that yes, keep social distancing, yes, wash your hands, perhaps wear a mask, but shutting down the economy and keeping people at home, not necessary.
Well, that's what the data is saying. You know, this is not a belief system on my part. I'm 30 years in complex problem solving and data analysis in similar scenarios with millions of parts and lag times and complex mathematics. So that's what the data is saying. And it makes sense if you look at the actual virology too, that these curves of virus propagation and then subsidence, they kind of happen independent of what you can do to a large extent. But let's say the distancing makes sense to protect the hospitals. That was a good move. That makes sense. But it turns out that even the distancing may not be so relevant now, because today it's published from Manchester University and Oxford backing it up that maybe 20% of UK people have essentially been exposed. And several professors of epidemiology and virology have gone on the record to say that herd immunity type, practical herd immunity for coronaviruses may be around 20 or 25%, you know, in a real sense, and not nearly the 60 or 70% perfect world.
Do you have the impression, Ivor, that advisors are learning on the job in Ireland, in the UK, across Europe? And do you see a possible tweak in the strategy going forward, given that, as you've suggested, Sweden did not have a draconian lockdown and there wasn't an enormous spike in deaths?
Yeah, well, Sweden is an incredible case of importance for the scientific method, because they're a control group who didn't do the lockdown. And the reality is that Sweden, I know the deaths are being splashed around the media, but they're middle of the pack for most countries in Europe. In reality, they also had around 70% care home deaths, or people being serviced at home in a care home type scenario. And those people wouldn't have really benefited from a lockdown anyway. They would have needed special protection. So you can kind of divide the figures by four just there. So Sweden a few weeks ago, clearly their ICU capacity demand was dropping many, many weeks ago. And they also never went anywhere near their capacity. So Sweden, in a sense, successfully protected their hospitals and gave care to every person who needed it. And also, of course, they're getting a much bigger slice of herd immunity. You know, maybe it's not perfect, but a much bigger slice than other people, which will stand to them in the autumn and the winter when we may see a second, you know, not a big wave, but a second kind of hump as people's immunity collapses in the winter. Next year. So Sweden have been very smart in many ways, and they've acknowledged fairly and publicly and honestly that they made a mistake with their care homes, just like everyone else did, because Ireland has 60% debt from care homes. England is absolutely riddled. The care home lack of protection is the big story out of this whole issue.
Interesting stuff. Well, we could talk for hours, Ivor, but if you'd like to hear more of Ivor's thoughts on this, he has a very successful podcast called The Fat Emperor, and his website is also thefatemperor.com. Many thanks to Ivor Cummins for that, adding to the debate around the efficacy or otherwise of the lockdown in the first place.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see my subscribe button in the middle of the screen, and go to extratimemovie.com to see our fascinating new documentary on stopping and reversing heart disease.